Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've prayed this prayer countless times in the Lord's Prayer, and so have most of you. If you've come to church every week in the last year here at Berwick Anglican Church, you will have prayed those lines at least 52 times. But what is the kingdom of God? And what does it mean to pray to God, "Your kingdom come"? The kingdom of God is not a physical realm, you know, like the kingdom of England. And it's not a political state like the Commonwealth of Australia. Rather, the kingdom of God is the deepest yearning of every human heart. The kingdom of God is any place where the benevolent rule of God through Christ is acknowledged and uncontested. It's any place where God's will is done. As Jesus does in the Lord's Prayer, we can more or less divide all of existence into two main places. Our place, or our space, which is the earth, and God's space, which is heaven. As Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. And this basic division of things that God created, he set it up in creation. You remember what the first line of the Bible says? It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And in the beginning, God's kingly rule was acknowledged and uncontested both in heaven and on earth. In the Garden of Eden, God lived amongst human beings, and we saw him face to face. He walked amongst us. And we lived under his authority. And life under God's good authority was good. Human beings lived in harmony, both harmony with God, and human beings lived in harmony with each other. And human beings lived in harmony with the creation. But we human beings rejected the rule of God, and tempted by Satan, we tried to set ourselves up as our own little rulers in our own little kingdoms. And the result was a disaster. And it's a disaster that the effects of are still with us to this day. Sin, which is rebellion against God and his authority, entered into the world. And sin corrupted the hearts of all human beings. And we were no longer fit to be in his holy presence, and we were thrown out of his presence. And separated from God, death and evil also entered into the human experience. And so after the fall, you know, our space, the earth, was no longer a place where God and where God's rule was universally acknowledged and uncontested. Fooled by Satan, human beings, our ancient ancestors, exchanged the harmony that we enjoyed under God's good rule. We exchanged that harmony for the tyranny of sin and death and evil. However, there is good news. Despite Adam and Eve's rebellion against God and our continued rebellion against God, he remains the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in his glory and his mercy, God will not suffer the reign of sin and death and evil to continue on the face of the earth. As the prophets long foretold, God has promised that he and his kingdom would return to the earth. As God said through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this happened, this return of God's kingdom happened in the person of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God came down from his space, heaven, and came back to our space, back to earth. And with him, the kingdom of God returned. As it says at the start of Mark's gospel, at the start of his ministry, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And he said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And as God's rightful king, Jesus demonstrated his power and his authority over the things that were kind of squatting on his kingdom's land. He demonstrated his power over all sin and all death and all evil. Jesus forgave sins. Jesus restored the dead to life. And evil and evil spirits fled at Jesus' very word. And at Easter, through his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life, Jesus re-established the kingdom of God on the earth. And he did this because his death in our place removed the power of sin over us and the power of sin on our hearts, so that in the hearts of his followers, through the blood of Jesus, God's rule could again be acknowledged and uncontested. And as more and more people on the earth turn away from sin and respond to God's call to them to come home in Jesus Christ, God's kingdom advances. And what starts in the heart then flows out. And it flows out into the community and into the economy and into our politics and into the wider world. And that harmony that we once had with God in the Garden of Eden, and that harmony that we once had with each other, and that harmony that we once had with the creation, it begins to return as God's authority is reasserted on the earth. As you, as I, as we are given new hearts by the blood of Christ, the kingdom of God begins to manifest. Our life and our community and our church, it begins to look more and more like something out of the Sermon on the Mount, and less like the mess that we humans have made the earth in our rebellion against God. So this is how, this is what the kingdom is and how it comes. The kingdom is the place where the benevolent and good and kind rule of God is acknowledged and uncontested, and it comes as more and more people have their hearts made new by Jesus Christ. But hold on a second. If this is the case, you may well ask, if the kingdom of God has come back to earth and has come back to us in Jesus, then why doesn't the earth, you know, look much like life in heaven? If the kingdom is here, why is there still injustice? Why is there still hunger and poverty? Why is there still wickedness and war? The kingdom of God is here. It's amongst us tonight. But the kingdom of God is still contested. In the coming of Christ, in his life and his death and his resurrection, God's kingdom was inaugurated. You know, it was installed, it was launched, it was established. But in the wider world across the earth, God's rule through Christ is not yet fully acknowledged. And God's rule is still not yet uncontested, both in the hearts of human beings and by the powers of evil. They resist the coming of God's kingdom. There's a great shorthand expression for this state of the world that we now live in Christian theology about the kingdom. We say that the kingdom of God is both now, but also not yet. God's kingdom is now inaugurated, but it's not yet fully realized. This state of affairs, though, it won't last forever. On the last day, when God again comes down from heaven and comes to earth, this time in Christ's second coming, in his power and his glory, the kingdom will come in its fullness. And God's rule will once again universally be acknowledged and uncontested on earth as it is in heaven. But until then, the kingdom of God on earth is now and not yet. And Jesus himself makes his state of affairs clear after his resurrection from the dead, when he gives his great commission to his disciples. In that great commission, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Jesus' authority in the world is contested. Not everyone yet recognizes it. Some still resist it. And thus he gives his church a mission to bring all nations and all people into submission to his kingly rule through disciple making, and that is through baptism and through teaching. If you are a Christian, and for our purposes, a Christian is somebody who joyfully acknowledges the rule of Christ. If you are a Christian, then your job on the earth, along with the rest of the church, is to live and proclaim the good news of Christ's kingdom and its coming, heralding his defeat of sin and death and evil, and proclaiming his freedom to all people. And the point of all this, the reason why we have this great commission to be his heralds and proclaim his freedom, is to prepare our space, the earth, to be fit to again receive her rightful king when Jesus returns. And therefore, Jesus wants us to pray to God, "Your kingdom come." And that's what he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. But what exactly does it mean to pray, "Your kingdom come"? If the kingdom is where God's rule through Christ is acknowledged and uncontested, then to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is a request to God that he would advance the acknowledgement of Christ's rule on the earth, and that he would cause opposition to Christ's rule on earth to be overcome. Praying, "Your kingdom come," is the battle cry of the Great Commission. As the servants of Christ go out to all nations to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And praying, "Your kingdom come," it is to work for the realization of the Sermon on the Mount, both in our lives and in our community. As the servants of Christ who, like a city built on a hill, let their light shine before others, and as they turn the other cheek and as they pray for those who persecute them, that the world might see the way that we live and glorify our Father in heaven. Praying, "Your kingdom come," is to petition God that he would hurry and quickly bring about the new Jerusalem. From that great scene at the very end of the Bible, at the end of Revelation, when heaven, called the New Jerusalem, the city of God, would again come down to the earth. And once again, the dwelling of God would be with his people on the earth. And life on earth will again have that harmony which was with us, with God, in the Garden of Eden. Praying, "Your kingdom come," is asking for Christ's reign on the earth to advance to its full and final realization. It's entering into the very presence of God and playing a part as his child in God's accomplishment of his will and his purposes for all history, for all creations, and for the earth itself. What an awesome and great privilege it is. So if that's what it means to pray, "Your kingdom come," how do we actually do it? You know, beyond just repeating the words. The former Bishop of Durham, Tom Wright, he gives an excellent analogy of what it is to pray, "Your kingdom come." Tom Wright, he likens it to sort of standing on a hill and looking with a pair of binoculars out across the world. And if you're using the Lord's Prayer as a model of how to pray, then, you know, you start at the start, and having prayed "Our Father in Heaven," you're acknowledging who we're talking to, and, you know, sort of the awesomeness of God, but also the closeness of the relationship you have with God, and that how he loves you as a father. And you sort of, you know, so you're standing on your hill and you're kind of looking up to God, as it were. And then you pray, "Your kingdom come." And it's like you're taking up your binoculars, so to speak, and prayerfully looking out upon the earth that God has made. And in his presence, seeing the world as God sees it. Sort of prayerfully seeing the world both with the love of God, you know, for his beautiful creation, but also seeing the world with the grief of God for the broken state in which the world now finds itself as it's in rebellion against him and his good rule. Sort of see the sin and the death and the evil that plagues everyday life and ruins so much of what is good about the world. And sort of look across the earth and see the many lost and hurting people languishing away, their hearts not yet having received the gospel of Jesus Christ, and, you know, trying to live life without the hope of forgiveness of sins and without the hope of eternal life. But then, you know, after surveying the world, sort of refocus your binoculars, so to speak, and bring the images that you've been praying about to God in sort of into a cross-shaped focus. And then, mindful of the cross of Jesus Christ, ask God to act. And you might pray something like, you know, "Dear God, with these people and these places and these situations that I lift before you, may your kingdom come. Please redeem these things that I'm praying about so that they would come under your good and kind authority." As Bishop Tom says, we are praying as Jesus was praying and acting for the redemption of the world, for the radical defeat and uprooting of evil, and for heaven and earth to finally be married, and for God to be all in all. So when you pray, "Your kingdom come," prayerfully survey the world in God's presence, and and lift before him people and situations and places that are not yet under God's rule, and ask God to advance his kingdom there. Pray for your workplace and pray for your schools. Pray for the government. Pray for our community. Pray for Casey. Pray for other countries. Pray for friends and family and colleagues. Pray that the harmony of Christ's rule would advance, and pray that people would become Christians. And finally, having asked God to act, to advance his kingdom in the world, we must also resubmit ourselves to the rule of Christ and be prepared to live out and work for the kingdom in our own lives. This means reoffering your heart and your mind and your body to God, and how you use them and what you do with them to his holy purposes. And it also means recommitting yourself to work for God's justice and righteousness, both in your household and in the community and in the economy and in politics. And it also means recommitting yourself to sharing the good news of Jesus so that his kingdom might advance. And so as you pray, your kingdom come, hope and expect that God will use you to do his will and answer your prayer. Let us pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, good Lord, that you have reestablished your kind and perfect rule on the earth, and that you went to the cross for us, defeating sin and death and evil, making new our hearts and inaugurating your kingdom on earth. And Almighty God, we lift to you this earth that you have given us. We thank you for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. We pray that you would strengthen us in our government, in our community, in our families, in our church. And Lord, we also lift to you those people on our hearts that do not yet know you in Jesus Christ. And we lift to you all those suffering sickness or injustice or distress or from war or poverty or just from the general toil of our fallen world. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your gospel and to live and work for your freedom, justice, and righteousness until you return in the fullness of your kingdom. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.